You may be seated. Now, I don't see any unfamiliar faces out there, but in case I'm wrong, if you'll look in the pocket in the chair in front of you, there's a pouch with a form and a pen. And if you fill that out for us, put that in the offering, or not offering, but in the basket on the right at the door on the way out, it'll let us have some information about you, and we'd sure would appreciate that.
Morning. A few announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock in the room back here. Women's Bible study Tuesday at 6:30. Terry Buckler is leading the study of the book of Judges. All women are invited. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. Movie night this Friday, showing Acts to Revelation, drive-through history. Everybody is welcome, and it's free. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this new day that you have given us. We pray, Father, that you lead us to learn and teach the Word, your word of grace and love and patience and everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We pray for Freddie Coyle and his camp ministry. We pray for Grace Camp and the activities that are coming up in the next month or so. We pray for Mike McFarland as he leads the church service today. We pray your blessings on each and every member of the congregation and visitors here this day, and pray for your families. Pray your blessings on each and every one of us here. Bless this day to your glory, and bless each of us to your service. And in all things, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The scripture reading today is 1 John 4:15 through 21. 1 John 4:15 through 21. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also.
pray for me when I am lonely. Pray for me when I am blue. Ask God to send.
When that special started, you would have loved to have known what was running through my mind. Brad, you did a good job, buddy. Pray for me. It does. I thought we were going to have to bring you before the leadership committee when that song started playing, intro, the music, but it's a good song. I appreciate that very much. Good to see everyone that's here. Wondering where everybody is that's not here this morning. But it's good to see you. Glad you're here with us. And trust that we get a blessing from our service today. We do have some that are ill, so I'd appreciate you praying for them. And as Brad sang, pray for me this morning. We have a lot of kids that are planning on going to camp. And I would suggest that if you have some kids planning to go to Camp Grace, you be sure and let us at least know the number. That way we will reserve places for you. And we have two that are going to junior camp, thanks to Lisa. She'll be driving. So begin to pray for these kids as they go off to camp. That's a wonderful time of opportunity that we don't want to miss. A minister in a South Georgia community, farming community, convened a prayer meeting. They were having a dry spell, and it was crops were in danger of just wilting away. And so he called a prayer meeting for rain. And on the appointed day, there was overflowing crowd in the local church that he pastored. And he was thrilled. And he complimented them, all that were there, for coming for this prayer meeting because of the drought that they were experiencing. But he said, y'all all know why we're here today. What I want to know is, why didn't any of you bring umbrellas? And that's the thing. Many times in the local church, the pastor has an idea of where he's going in his message. Sometimes he has no idea at all. But it's good to have you here this morning. Two old men were sitting on a park bench. Sort of reprobate old men, but they were arguing with one another which one had the greatest devotion to the Lord in their daily walk. The first one says, I'll bet you $5 that you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. The other old man says, I do too. And it goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. First old man says, oh, man, I didn't think that you knew the Lord's Prayer. So that's the way it goes. 1 John, we're in chapter 4. It's been a while since we've been in 1 John, and we want to take a look at 1 John this morning, beginning with verse 12. But in prelude to that, I want to once again go over a couple of things with you. In the book of 1 John, there's four different kinds of love that's spoken of in the Word of God. And in the first book of 1 John, we'll be focusing on one. Before we get into the message this morning, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for grace. Father, we thank you for those that are here this morning. We pray, Father, for those that are not here because of illness. We pray, Father, for those that came, even though they don't really feel like being here this morning. And so, Father, we ask that you would guide our thoughts, our minds, and our energies, Father, towards your word this morning, that we might receive the blessings and the instruction that you have for us today. Father, we give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. In the Word of God, we find four different kinds of love mentioned or talked about at various places. We have the storge love, which is an empathy. We have empathy with one another. We have a bond with one another. We have the philia, which is the kind of bond friends have with one another. I had over the years several dear men friends that I counted brothers in Christ that I valued their understanding of the Word of God. I valued the time that we spent together, and I valued the influence that they had on my life. A philia type of love. We have an eros, which is a romantic type love spoken of in the Word of God. And then we have another love, which is agape, and that is unconditional God love, the way that God loves us. To bring ourselves up to date and to refresh our memory, this love definition that I found years ago really is applicable in any of those four different types of love. In this definition, it says that love is a total concern without reservation, with a total commitment, without exceptions or conditions, for the total well-being and benefit of a person based upon our relationship to that person. Now, that definition of love is applicable in any of those four different kinds of love. But as I was looking and refreshing myself on the book of 1 John, where we'll be this morning, I was thinking, what kind of love is this that John speaks some 31 or 32 times he mentions the word love or loveth? What kind of love is that? So I went to my Greek help, and I find that every one of those loves that's spoken of in their various forms is the agape type love, God's love for us. As we think about love and we think about the earthly walk of believers, we find that there is a correlation between how we should respond to those who know Christ as their personal Savior. How should we respond to them? Especially when we see that there are things that they are espousing or places that they have been involved in some earthly relationship. How do we express God's love towards them? Well, I think there is always a time in a person's life that we come under the correction, if you would. And that is sort of a rough, tough, mean-sounding word, the correction that God would have us offer to one who we find is not faithful in their walk with the Lord. I'm talking about open, flagrant, willful, repeated sin, time after time after time. We need to be lovingly corrective to these ones. We find here in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, John is here dealing with proof of salvation. How do we know when we look in our own lives? Where do we get that confidence in the middle of the night when maybe we have failed in our walk with the Lord? In some way, we have been unfaithful to the guidance of the Word of God in our lives. How do we know that we're saved? As a youngster, 12 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. My mom and dad led me to the Lord in their bedroom about 10:30 or 11 that night. I still remember that night very vividly. How do we know, though, as we walk through this life here in this earth as a Christian, when we fail, how do we know that we have salvation? How are we comforted from the Word of God? Well, here we find in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Many times in our earthly walk, we need encouragement. We need, if you would, repetition of the assurance that heaven is our home and that God is our Savior. Love is the supreme test in our lives. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, John says here. Do you believe? Do I believe that God loves me? Yes. Then we ought to cling to that during those dry times, if you would, in our walk with the Lord. We need to, as John says here in verse 17, we need to understand. Here's what John says and the way he phrases it. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because," here's the crucial important part, "because as he is, so are we in this world." Have you ever thought about that you and I, who've trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we have experienced that new birth. We have that person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, encouraging us, leading us, correcting us, consoling us in our walk with the Lord. And here we find, John said, we have our love made perfect so that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Have you ever thought about being Christ-like? Has it ever crossed your mind? Have you ever dwelt on it for any length of time? We are as Christ is in this world. We have, if you would, and we looked at this morning, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has a job. God likes works, not works for salvation, because works do not get us into heaven. But because we are going to heaven, we ought to have good works. They ought to be visible. They ought to be encouraging to us as we are impressed upon God, or by God. We are impressed by God to do those things which he asks us to do. One of those things is to share the message that you can have eternal life as a free gift by trusting in him. That is a message, that is a work that we are called upon to do. Very few people that I know are ever involved in that work of soul winning, but that is a work meeting the needs of widows and those that are less fortunate is a work that we are called upon, not for salvation, but because we are saved, to be kind, to be considerate, to be the overused word loving, to love as God loves. How does God love? You see, He loved me, and if I understand Scripture correctly, He loved you when we're not lovable. He loved us. He gave His Son that we might have everlasting life. John gives us the definition. God is love. John then says, because as He is, so are we in this world. You see, we are a reflection of the One who gave Himself for us, that we might dwell with Him forever and ever. In verse 18 of 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, I've been fearful in my walk with the Lord before. Am I doing what He would really have me to do? Am I perfecting my testimony before other people as it would bring Him honor and glory? You see, because I understand He loves me, that removes the fear in my daily walk. He loves me. He died for me. He is perfect love. That's our relationship with Him. How about our relationship with other believers? You see, because we are as He is in this world, we ought to be an encouragement to others when we see them struggling, fearful, or needy in their daily walk with Him. Removes the fear. Verse 19 of 1 John chapter 4, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him. It's hard to refuse showing love to those who have shown us love. It's hard to refuse that kind of love in our own lives. And we ought to share that kind of love with those around us who know Him as Savior. In verse 20, John says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Well, that's strong language. Oh, Mike, you ought not to say things like that. That hurts somebody's feelings. I'm not saying it. John's saying it this morning. The Holy Spirit impressed upon him to write these words. I'm just telling you what he says. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We can't do anything with this except just accept it as it is. It's the truth. This is the test, if you would, that John put forth in verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. In verse 21, John goes on and says, and this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You see, love is a commandment. Not an Old Testament commandment under the law, but a new commandment under the new a new commandment by Christ Himself to those who trusted in Him. Love is a commandment for people who know Christ, who are saved. Love is proof of our salvation. Love towards God, yes. Love towards fellow believers, yes. Love is an attribute of God. And because it is an attribute of God, And because we are as He is, love should be an attribute of ours as we go through this life serving Him. Good works, not for salvation, but because we are God's children. Looking at 1 John chapter 5 and beginning this portion of 1 John, we find in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. We have the love of God, everyone that loveth Him. Speaking of our love for God, loves also fellow believers who have been saved, who trust Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Faith produces the new birth. The one who has experienced the new birth will love others who are born again, who are child of God. These cannot be confined to a certain area or a certain group of people. We are to love all who know Christ. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's hard for me to love other believers, especially when I'm on the receiving end of their unchrist comments, attitudes, personalities. It's hard. Hard. But you see, I have no way around it. I am to love them. To love them. To minister to them. You see, love is a total concern. Without reservation, with a total commitment, without exceptions or conditions, for the total well-being and benefit of a person based upon my relationship to that person. Gotta love them. Sometimes it takes a lot of prayer. Sometimes it takes a lot of doing it, whether I want to or not. Loving an unlovable fellow believer. But by this, John writes, we know that we love the children of God when we love God, keep His commandments. How is it that we love God? How do I know that I love God? Have you ever thought about that? How do you know that you love God? If I were to ask you this morning, do you love God? Most of you would say, oh yes. Oh boy, do I ever love God? How do you know? Way down deep. How do you know that you love God? How do I know that I love God? Very simple. Just read it. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. How do we do that? I'm missing something here. I'm overlooking something here. Oh, yeah. Here it is. When we love God and keep His commandments. I've never gone through the Word of God and written down all His commandments. But I've been through the Word of God several times. I'm sure that I have read about keeping His commandments. But what are they? What is one? We're not talking about the law. We're not under the law. We're talking about the law of Christ, if you would, the commandments of Christ. When we keep His commandments. Commandments. Love one another. Love one another. Let's see, another commandment. Maybe it's a commandment that He gave to His apostles. Would those be applicable to us today? I think so. He told His apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Share the gospel. I would consider that a commandment. How about Ephesians 2:10? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Are these things that we have here spelled out for us, are these things that we do, I do, you do, are they? Should be. These are Christ's commandments. In verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. How about that? How do we know? When we look to the inside, the inner man, how are we in keeping His commandments? Oh, you say that'd be so hard. I have to get up and come to church on Sunday, or should. Let's see, ought to have be at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Ought to sweep out the church if the church needs sweeping out. Goodness, I don't know if I'm capable of doing all of these things. How do I mesh these things together? They're so hard. They're so difficult. Christ said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. All that's required of us is to be faithful. It's easy. All of us, all that's required is for us to be faithful. As the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and convicts us, as we have opportunity, it doesn't mean that every one of these things that we find spelled out in the Word of God need to be focused on every day. But as the Holy Spirit, God Himself, leads us, as we are reminded, as we are encouraged in our walk with Him, do those things. Just be faithful. Moreover, it's required. Moreover, it's required that a man be found faithful. A believer found faithful. For my yoke is easy, Christ said. My burden is light. What happens when I'm not faithful? what happens when I turn my back. On the leading of the Holy Spirit. What happens? I've done that before. Probably have to confess to you, I still am guilty of that. But what happens on the inside when I am not faithful? What happens? I don't know about you, but in my walk with the Lord, the breaking of this faithfulness that I should be in my walk with the Lord brings unhappiness. It brings misery. It brings heavy burdens. You know, little Levi this morning, his mama loves him. His mama loves him. That's good. Henry, I know your mama loves you too. You're a good boy. Henry's my friend. We have a little great-grandson, Jacob. And Jacob was born into this world with about four times as much energy as a child should have. But you know, my daughter cares for Jacob long hours, tedious hours of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Jacob, don't do that. Jacob, don't do that. Don't do that, Jacob. Jacob, stop. All of these things. Long, hard, tedious hours of changing dirty diapers, of fixing snacks, of kissing what she calls boo-boos. All of these things, all of us who are parents know what I'm talking about. All of those long, tedious hours, we get tired, but we never give up. We do those things because they're not really burdensome. They're a joy. And that should be the way that we look at God's faithfulness or our faithfulness to God's leadership in our lives. We find in verse 4 that John is writing here and he's really actually telling us that we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent Christ. We were at a local shindig last night for our different students in our school system. Now, I can't remember what is that. What was that called, Nancy? Where is Nancy? Oh, she's hiding behind you. What was that call last night? Huh? The program? Salt pageant. I guess a city that's got more people working down in under the ground than they do on top of the ground. Salt mine. But we were there for the salt pageant. And they had a good time. All of the kids involved. All of the parents and all of the grandparents. And boy, I tell you what, they were representing our city, our biggest employer, probably one of the biggest in East Texas. And they were representing the school and the different organizations in our school. And boy, they did an awesome job. I enjoyed myself. Of course, I had a granddaughter, or a great-granddaughter, and also a great-grandson in the program. And I whistled and yelled probably louder than anybody else when they were announced. But we are Christ ambassadors as believers. We represent God of heaven, creator of earth and everything that exists. Oh, how proud they were last night to represent our city and our school and the biggest employer in our town, probably in East Texas. But how about us? How are we in our representation? God, creator of all that exists, supplier of all the needs that we might have as believers. We are overcomers, we read earlier. John said, we're overcomers. We've overcome because we believed in Christ as our Savior. You know what? Our faith is our victory. The one who won last night, oh, listen, she was all decked out in the prettiest, nightgown, but evening gown. And her escort, I mean, he was just spit and polish. Proud to be an ambassador representing our school and our town. But how about us as God's ambassadors? How about that? John goes on to say, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We look at the world around us. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. And we see all of the things that are going on. I thought it was a little interesting. The question was brought up by the Sunday school teacher about this thing of worrying over world conditions and things that we cannot do anything at all about to any large extent. Individually, we can't. And the lack of peace that we have as a result of all of those things that are wrong in this old world in which we live. We ought to rejoice. We ought to have faith. We ought to have peace like no one else because we have overcome this world. And we've done it when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Our faith is our victory. We cannot overcome the world by fighting it. Never happened individually. It'll never happen by group-wise either. Because you see, God's in control. And God has said in time past, in May 2023, I'm going to allow these things to happen. The Creator has said that. I'm going to allow these things to happen because of the unbelief of those in this world. The majority of people. Listen, I understand. I'm not happy with things. Sunday school teacher this morning said he couldn't even imagine what $23 trillion would look like. Let me say this. This is the only political I'm going to get this morning. It wasn't $23 trillion when Mr. Biden took office, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It was $21 trillion. And the last I heard, over $30 trillion in 2 short years. You want something to make you unhappy? That ought to make you unhappy. But, you see, even with that, faith is our victory. We know who wins. We've read the back of the book, and we know who wins. And we win because of our faith and trust in Christ as our personal Savior. The gospel has been given here many times. And I'm sure that you've heard the gospel because most of you have been here more than once. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can walk out of those doors knowing that heaven's your home and all of your sins have been paid for by trusting Christ, believing God when He said that Christ took all our sins and paid for it, paid for them on the cross. He said, if you'll believe that, I'll give you eternal life. Never done that this morning. Won't you do that? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for grace. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed us as your children to be your ambassadors, to represent you. Father, to be faithful in our service to you. Father, in loving you and loving those that are really sometimes unlovable, our fellow believers. Father, loving the lost to the point that we share with them the good news of Christ's payment for our sin. Father, we pray that we might leave here, Father, realizing that from this day forward, from this very instance forward, we can be faithful. Father, that you will bless that and use us that our lives might be honoring and glorifying to you. Father, we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.